The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.
The following radio play is a production of Colonial Beach Playhouse. Due to the pandemic, the theater is currently closed. We are a nonprofit community theater. More information and a way to support the Playhouse through donations is available on our website, cbplayhouse.org. The following story is fictional, but is based on some important historical facts concerning the town of Colonial Beach and the family of Alexander Graham Bell.
And now, it's time for Chesapeake Mystery Theater. Tonight's episode is entitled Incident at the Bell House. We take you back to the year 1915. It's the town of Colonial Beach, Virginia. It is late March. Alexander Graham Bell, yes, that Alexander Graham Bell, has just arrived from his winter home in Washington, D.C. He will stay at the Bell House, a property he inherited from his father, Alexander Melville Bell. He's come for a month's stay and then will travel up to his estate in Nova Scotia to spend the summer. With him on his trip are his wife Mabel, who has been deaf since she was a child, and their housekeeper, Mary. After supper, they retired for the night. A stormy night.
Ah!
Good heavens.
What is it, Alec?
Well, I heard a scream. It seemed to come from upstairs.
Was it Mary? Do you think she's all right?
It must have been her. Perhaps she had a nightmare.
It may have been the thunder. I felt it. It woke me up, shook the whole house. Let me know if she screams again, and I'll go up and check on her. It's the first time she's been in this house, and you know this house makes strange noises.
Well, perhaps it was a ghost. Maybe my late father decided to stay around.
What?
It was just a joke, Mabel.
Alec Bell, that's nothing to joke about. Make sure you leave the table lamp on. Good night.
Good night, dear. And pleasant dreams.
Mary, be careful. You've spilled the tea.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Bell. I'll get a cloth and clean it up.
Is something wrong, Mary? You seem very upset this morning.
Oh, madam, I couldn't sleep a wink. Those sounds, those terrible sounds, didn't you hear them?
Get hold of yourself, Mary. You know I can't hear.
Oh, of course. I'm so sorry. I think I'm losing my mind. But the sounds, like they were evil spirits, howling and chattering, like sounds from another world.
What's this? Another world?
Oh, Mr. Bell, the sounds in the house last night. Didn't you hear them?
I heard someone screaming a couple of times. I assume that was you. The storm was quite noisy, that's for sure.
Well, yes, I suppose it was the storm. Oh, but I have heard such noises.
Mary said she didn't get any sleep at all.
Dear me.
I wonder if we couldn't move Mary to the bedroom across from ours. I think that third floor needs some repairs, and it is probably quieter on the second floor.
Really? I think that third floor bedroom is quite nice.
Oh, it is, Mr. Bell. I'm sure I'll be all right tonight. The storm is clearing up, I think. You know, when I first saw this house last night, I thought to myself, it looks like a spooky house. Then with the storm, I guess my imagination got the best of me. I'm so sorry. I'll get your breakfast, Mr. Bell, and some more hot tea.
When you talked to Bert last night, did he say when they were coming?
Yes, they're coming today. Leaving right after breakfast. Should be here by 11.
Motoring?
Oh, yes. He's just bought some fancy new automobile. I don't know how he can afford it.
They can afford it. They will dine with us then.
I suppose so.
What's that, madam? Someone coming for dinner?
It's just my daughter and her husband, coming from their farm in Maryland.
Oh, dear. There isn't food in the house for a proper dinner.
Just a lunch, Mary. Probably sandwiches will do. They are modern Americans. They take their main meal in the evening.
You are in a strange land now, Mary. You're not in Nova Scotia. You may see Munchkins out the window any day now.
How's that, sir?
He is referring to the popular children's books by L. Frank Baum.
Do you suppose he's German?
Who?
The author, with a name like Baum. Do you think he's German?
I read he was born in New York. But if he is of German descent, he may not admit it in today's environment.
He writes stories about wizards and witches, and now he's richer than I am. He is?
Well, perhaps you should take up fiction writing. You've tried everything else.
Write about wizards and witches? What a dreadful way to make a living.
Here is a mystery for you. You know those earrings I like? Those simple, shiny gold ones, diamond-shaped? I brought them on this trip. I laid them on the dresser last night, right next to that brooch that the AEA gave me. I intended to find a box to put them in. This morning the brooch was still there, but the earrings were missing.
Not much of a mystery. You forgot where you put them.
I would not forget such a thing. Did you happen to move them?
Of course not. Why would I?
I don't know. Perhaps to put something else down?
Nonsense. You are just getting forgetful.
The Grosvenors arrive at 11 a.m. Mother and daughter have gathered in the kitchen and assist Mary at preparing lunch. Alexander and his son-in-law, Gilbert Grosvenor, are in the study.
So, how are the bairns?
Your grandchildren are very disappointed we didn't bring them.
Who's looking after them?
We left Melville in charge.
Well, he is a take-charge young man. His great-grandfather was so pleased that you named your firstborn after him. But how is little Alexander?
Not well, I'm afraid. Don't tell Elsie I told you, but he's dying, Alec.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I remember just last Christmas, he learned to pull my beard.
To make you growl like a bear. He loves that.
But you have other sons. The Grosvenor name will carry on.
And the Bell name. You are famous, Alec.
Posh. And how is my little Mabel?
Not so little. She's growing up very fast. And sharp as a whip. She knows that she's your favorite. And so does the rest of my children.
They know I love them all.
But we need to get back to them, so we can't stay too long. The traffic around Washington is absolutely terrible now.
Mostly paved, though.
Yes, but not around here. This will always be farm country.
Maybe. How is the National Geographic Society doing?
Better every day.
And your magazine? I really like The Yellow Border. That was your idea, wasn't it?
I guess. But it's the illustrations that are really making the magazine. That was your idea. Our members enjoy being able to see the faraway places they're reading about.
It must be expensive to print out all those illustrations.
Those illustrations are increasing our circulation, more than covering the increased cost.
My, my. We were just a bunch of old fuddy-duddies exaggerating our travel stories. Then you came along and turned the society into an educational organization.
That is yet another exaggeration, but it is exciting to be part of it.
Travel is going to be more difficult now with the war. It must be harder to get stories written.
Many of our stories are now about the war and its effect on the land and the culture.
There are now thousands of Canadians joining the war effort. When is the United States going to join in?
Soon, I think. I have sources who tell me we are gearing up. But Wilson is still sticking to neutrality. I think mostly to appease our German population.
But Kaiser has just announced that he will attack all ships, including American ships, because they are sending supplies to England.
Trust me, if an American ship is sunk, public opinion will change, and Wilson will have to declare war.
Excuse me, Alec, but there has been an interesting coincidence.
A coincidence?
What is it, Elsie?
Oh, just listen, Bert.
This morning I told you about my missing earrings, remember?
Yes.
Well, I was telling Elsie about it, and Mary overheard. It turns out our Mary is missing something. Tell him, Mary.
Well, sir, I have a locket.
A gold locket. My mother left it to me when she died. It's like the only thing I have that's worth anything, so I couldn't leave it behind going on this long trip, you see. I put it in my nightstand when I went to bed, but with all the storm and terrible sounds last night, I didn't think of it in the morning. But when I heard that Madame was missing her earrings, I realized I hadn't seen my locket. I ran upstairs, and sure enough, it was gone.
And you think there is a coincidence between the two disappearances?
A night burglar, possibly?
Mary heard ghosts in the night. She thinks that my father has come back to haunt us and has become a thief in the process.
Oh, sir, I never said anything about your father.
Really, Alec, I am quite sure my earrings were moved, and Mary seems just as sure her locket is missing. Do you think we should notify the authorities?
Because it was our first night here, I checked all the doors and windows in the house before retiring. They were all locked tight. I don't see how a burglar could have got in without breaking a lock or a window.
Shall we check to see if there are any signs of breaking in?
First, you and Mary should give a thorough search of the two bedrooms. Take Elsie with you. A fresh pair of eyes may help. I'm sure you'll find the missing jewelry.
Oh, I would be happy to help.
Very well. And if we can't find them, I will check the windows. And then I'm calling the authorities. Come along, ladies.
Call the authorities indeed. Women.
Elsie will find them. She's good at finding lost articles.
And she knows this house. She was only about 10 years old when she first came here, when my father owned the place. So, I hear you're going on a trip.
I am quite excited. I leave next week on a trip to California to explore the Sequoia Forests north of Los Angeles. Stephen Mather has arranged the trip and for some reason wants me along.
He wants you on his side for the National Park Service he's proposing.
Actually, I'm already helping him write the proposal to Congress.
Good for you. You are an excellent writer. That will ensure its success. I sure miss my days with the Society. Hard to believe it's been over 10 years since I retired as president.
I can tell you the Society misses you, too. Almost every day someone asks me about you.
And I miss them. Did I ever show you the money clip that they gave me when I retired?
You've talked about it, but I don't believe I've ever actually seen it.
Well, I don't have much use for it. Mabel has all the money, you know.
Yes.
But I brought it with me on this trip. I just put it down on the desk last night. Let me show you the inscription. Well, I thought I put it right here. It's gone.
What, the money clip?
Yes, it was right there. It was sterling silver. It must have cost over $30. Oh, my. The women must be right. There's been a thief. I'm calling the sheriff.
But shouldn't we conduct a thorough search first?
No. I know where I put it. Hello? 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 The phone's not working.
This isn't good. Alexander Graham Bell's phone is out of order.
But it can't be. I just called you last night, remember?
Yes, of course.
Say, what's this?
What?
The telephone cord. It's been cut.
We'll be back to Incident at the Bell House in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor, the town of Colonial Beach. Friends, has life for you been rather dull lately? Sitting around home with nothing to do? Well, here's how to overcome the humdrum. Pay a visit to Colonial Beach. Yes, Colonial Beach, Virginia.
When you say beach, make sure you start it with Colonial. Colonial Beach, the finest town in all Virginia.
You'll come to sun,
you'll come to swim,
you'll come to boat,
you'll come to fish,
you'll come to see mystery,
enjoy our arts,
our restaurants,
our many shops,
our water sports.
You'll come to play, you'll want to stay in Colonial Beach, Virginia.
Yes, Colonial Beach, Virginia, where Southern hospitality meets Northern neck vitality. And now, the conclusion of Incident at the Bell House.
The sandwiches were delicious, Mary.
Thank you, madam.
And the potato salad. You must give me the recipe.
Yes, madam.
Did you have to drive far, Bert?
No, not at all. First house down the road. They were very cooperative. Their phone was working fine. The owner offered to help in any way he could. I also called Melville. Let him know we would be a little bit late.
Oh, good. Thank you, dear.
He proudly announced he has everything under control.
Melville's a fine boy. I got our phone working again. Simple matter of splicing the wire. When did the sheriff say he would get here?
He said he would leave right away.
Horse or motor?
He didn't say. Either way, he should be here any minute.
Thanks for making the call. Well, that must be the sheriff. Excuse us, ladies. Thanks for the lunch, Mary.
Yes, sir.
Ah, I can tell by the handsome beard that I must be addressing Mr. Alexander Graham Bell himself.
Yes, and this is my son-in-law, Mr. Gilbert Grosvenor, who you spoke to on the phone.
Oh, it is a great honor to meet you both.
Thank you for coming so quickly. You made excellent time. Did you motor up?
Oh, no, sir. Not after this rain. Too likely to get stuck in the mud. I prefer traditional transportation. Old Judy is a great mudder.
Old Judy?
My horse, sir.
Of course. Won't you step into the living room, Sheriff?
Thank you, sir. So, I understand you have had a burglary.
It appears so. Some jewelry is missing, and the phone line was cut.
Were you able to determine how he entered the premises?
No, that is a mystery. Both doors were locked. I locked them myself before retiring. And the windows are still locked from the inside. Have there been other burglaries in the area?
Not that I am aware of. You didn't see any strangers lurking around the place yesterday?
I did not. And I am sure that the women would have mentioned it if they had seen anyone.
Do you fear that this gentleman will come back? Do you think the family is in any danger?
I suppose not. I just assumed that you would want this reported and would be interested in apprehending the criminal.
And that we certainly are, sir. We will provide you whatever level of protection you desire, as we do for all our distinguished residents. But I must confess, sir, that my specialties are armed robbery and violent crimes. For burglaries and such, we recommend an excellent detective. He is not actually a member of the department, but is on call. His name is Kinsale, and he is something of a strange fellow, but believe me, he is good at what he does.
How does this detective work?
All I know is he will come here, ask a few questions, look around the place, and before long he will be able to tell you what the perpetrator had for breakfast that morning.
And how do we get in touch with this fellow?
No need. I will contact him and tell him to be here at 6 o'clock today. Expect a knock on the door at 5:59. The man is precise in everything he does.
My wife and I will be expecting him. Mr. Grosvenor must leave. He will be returning to his Maryland home shortly. Thank you for handling this.
Ah, my pleasure, sir. Again, it was a great honor to meet both you gentlemen. Good day to you.
Well, I'm sorry I won't get to meet this detective. He sounds like Sherlock Holmes himself.
Did you know that the character of Sherlock Holmes was based on a Scottish professor named Bell?
Really? Any relation?
I doubt it. But if this man is as good as the sheriff says, I may claim so.
$5.59.
The sheriff was right about that. We shall see if he can solve crimes as well. And you are Mr. Kinsale?
Of course I am.
Yes. I am Mr. Bell, and this is Mrs. Bell.
Of course you are. Good evening, Mrs. Bell!
Ah, I see you have heard that Mrs. Bell is deaf. She's indeed deaf. Not just hard of hearing. She cannot discern vocal sounds, no matter how loud you shout them. She is, however, capable of reading lips. Just speak directly towards her in a normal voice. She is one of the most accomplished lip readers on this planet.
Of course she is. My apologies, Mrs. Bell.
Please step in, Mr. Kinsale.
Of course. Thank you. I understand you are missing some jewelry, Mrs. Bell.
Well, yes, I am missing earrings, and our housekeeper is missing a small gold locket. Mr. Bell is missing a silver money clip.
It was worth at least $40.
Of course it was. Were all the missing objects taken from the same floor of the house?
The same floor?
No, they were not. In fact, they were all taken from different floors. The locket was taken from the third floor, and my earrings from the second floor.
And my money clip was taken from this floor, from this very desk.
Of course it was. I must say, this is an unusual burglary.
And the phone line was cut. Amateur job. A simple matter to splice it back together.
Of course. Let me have a look. Ah, yes. Very amateur splice.
I beg your pardon?
It is only a temporary splice, Mr. Kinsale, to get the phone working again.
Of course. Now, would you describe all the jewelry taken as shiny?
I've remembered seeing Mary's locket once or twice. I believe it is shiny. My earrings and the money clip are very shiny. Is that significant?
Of course it may be. We must consider all the evidence.
Of course.
Of course. Now, may I see the exact locations that these objects were taken from?
I'll get Mary to show you where the items were taken from. The rooms have been searched already.
Of course.
Mary!
Yes, madam?
Would you show Mr. Kinsale the rooms from which your locket and my earrings were taken?
Yes, madam. This way, sir.
Something of a strange fellow indeed.
He seems to know what he's doing.
I admire your faith in human nature.
I have always had faith in you, Alec.
Which only shows you are occasionally wrong.
I was not wrong when I said your young Mr. Grosvenor would be a good match for Elsie.
No, I should say not. The man is like a son to me.
Our sons did not survive, but you can count on the Grosvenors to carry on the Bell name.
Yes, indeed. You've completed your search.
Of course. I wonder if you would allow me to use your phone to converse with a colleague.
You may. The phone is right there.
Of course, but it is of a confidential nature. Would you mind?
We'll be in the kitchen when you need us. Come along, Alec. You were able to reach your associate?
Of course. And now I must ask you a great favor.
What favor?
We are happy to cooperate.
Of course. I would like to stay overnight on the third floor.
Whatever for?
We could move Mary to the second floor bedroom across from us. We were thinking of doing that anyway.
But why? Do you suspect the burglar to return tonight?
Of course we may be wrong, but if our theory is correct, there is a strong possibility.
So you and your colleague have come up with a theory. What is it?
Of course, it is only speculation, and I would prefer not to comment further at this time.
Of all the...
We will tell Mary to move to the second floor bedroom and to change the sheets on the third floor bed.
But...
Of course I will not be using the bed. Just a chair. I will be staying up all night.
Good grief!
We need to solve this mystery, Alec. Let's do as he says.
More tea, Mr. Bell?
Thank you, Mary. No. I'm afraid I have little appetite with that so-called genius still up there on the third floor.
Hush! Here he comes. Good morning, Mr. Kinsale. Any progress solving the mystery?
Of course there was. The mystery is solved.
You mean to say the thief returned last night?
Of course he did. My theory was proven correct.
Did he come into the house?
Of course he did. I recommend that you cut the branches on your trees well back from the roof.
He climbed the tree? He must be related to Tarzan.
But where is he now? Did he get away?
Of course he didn't. I put a stop to his thievery. He's dead.
Oh, no! What happened?
I killed him.
Good night, man. Was that necessary? I heard no shot.
Of course you didn't. I poisoned him.
This is preposterous. Is the body still upstairs?
Ah!
Mabel, calm Mary down.
Of course it isn't. It's right here in my carpet bag.
What? Are you out of your mind, man?
Don't you see, Alec? It's an animal of some kind. Is it a squirrel?
Of course it's an animal. Not a squirrel, but an eastern wood rat, sometimes categorized as a pack rat. My colleague, a Dr. Farney, who makes his living as an exterminator, but is also an expert on local varmints, confirmed my belief that some sort of pest was responsible. He dropped off some rat poison in the middle of the night after you were all sleeping.
But who cut my phone line? Does a wood rat carry a pair of wire cutters?
Of course he doesn't. But his teeth are very sharp, perfectly capable of cutting through soft copper wire.
I suppose he is attracted to jewelry.
Of course he is. All pack rats like shiny objects. They hoard them.
Ah. So what became of our stolen objects? Did you find them?
Of course I did. But I must say it took some doing. Here are your objects. The locket, the earrings, and the money clip. I've washed them off with hot water.
Was that necessary?
Of course it was. You see, pack rats store their treasures near their nests in what is called a midden. Their treasures include plant life as well as shiny objects. The plant life, combined with, well, let's say their bodily fluids, combine to form a solid shell that can preserve the middens for thousands of years. Zoologists use middens to determine what type of plant life existed in the area in the past.
Thank you for washing the jewelry. So the wood rat lived in the tree.
Of course, they sometimes live in trees. This one lived in your attic. I suspect he moved there during the winter. He got in by jumping from the tree to the rooftop. Trim your trees or you'll have more such visitors. You won't mind if I take the rat to show him to Dr. Farney?
Please take it, and thank you for solving the mystery.
Yes. We are very grateful.
Of course you are. You will receive my bill in the mail tomorrow.
Oh? You are not compensated by the government?
Of course not. But I'm worth it. I'll see my way out.
That was interesting.
Yes, it was. I suppose he had to crawl up in the attic to get our jewelry. That was certainly worth it.
And now you are ready for some more breakfast.
As a matter of fact, I'm famished. How did you know?
Elementary, my dear Belle.
That concludes tonight's episode of Chesapeake Mystery Theater, Incident at the Bell House, featuring the voices of Bob Christensen, Sally Adams, Cher Lee, Samuel Wallace, Eric Christensen, Dan Stacia, and Kira Thompson. Accompanist was Melissa Sullivan. I'm Stephen Thompson. Special thanks go to Judy Jarutka, former owner of the Bell House. This program has been brought to you by the town of Colonial Beach, the finest town in all Virginia.
You'll come to play, you'll want to stay in Colonial Beach, Virginia.
Until next time, we close the door on Chesapeake Mystery Theater. Good night.
All of the performers in this production are volunteers who live in the Colonial Beach area. If you enjoyed this production, more information and a way to support the Playhouse through donations is available on our website, cbplayhouse.org.
Good evening. This is your station manager, Ted Tate. We hope you enjoyed this original production, Incident at the Bell House on WWER 88.1 FM. As your community radio station, this is the kind of programming we take the most pride in, local, original, and not available anywhere else. If you enjoyed it, or even if you didn't, please let me know by emailing me, ted@wwer.org. We're interested in what you want to hear. For our spring schedule update, we're considering adding a weekly radio drama to our schedule. It won't be a local production like this, but a vintage 1950s radio show. Please let me know what you think of that idea too. We'd love to produce shows like this on a regular basis, but volunteers only have so many free hours in a week. If there's an opportunity to do more of these, we certainly will. To keep up on all of our plans and programming, stay in touch by listening, visiting wwer.org, and liking us on Facebook. thanks again for your support of 88.1 FM. We are Colonial Beach.